we present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a cutting from the Sheffield Weekly Gazette, read by Harriet Cass.
The decision to shut Ringinglow Fire Station has angered many, including the 6,900 residents who singed a petition against the closure.
And our thanks to Peter Oxley for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first on my right, Francis Ween and Andy Zaltzman. And opposite them on my left, Mark Steele and Sarah Kendall. Right, my lovely Francis, let's start with you. Why is there just not enough porridge to go around?
Is this the prisons?
It is the prisons.
Well, there we are. That's the answer to the question. 2 points.
2 points.
They're full to bursting. And John Reid has decided the way around this is to bribe foreign prisoners to get out early. They give them £2,500 if they'll agree to leave prison now. Which
sounds like a good deal.
Well, they get flown home, but they do get a free in-flight movie and a packet of cashew nuts. So I think it's quite a good deal.
So the prisons aren't just at bursting point. This morning, HMP Ashwell in Hertfordshire actually burst. And bits of it rained down on the A421 just outside Biggleswade. So drive carefully if you're in the area.
That's really an open prison. I like the idea of that.
Exactly how full is full, though? How many places is officially full?
Well, apparently there were only 125 empty cells available in Britain's prisons last week.
Right.
But fortunately, the BBC Symphony Orchestra cancelled the bank job they were going to do, so...
Well, have they tried stacking the prisoners horizontally?
For some people, that's why they go to prison. No, it's terrible, apparently. The prison population has reached a record 79,843 at the weekend, and John Reid has announced a string of emergency measures. And apparently at Ford Open Prison, it's become so critical, the overcrowding, that sometimes there are three or even four prisoners to a jacuzzi. Andy, which nuclear family is not really celebrating a new arrival?
Well, this would be the world's nuclear family, and not especially pleased that North Korea appears to have turned up like an uninvited relative demanding Christmas dinner. North Korea have tested their nuclear bomb, and they're not just tested, they're testing all kinds of bombs that we've already got in the West, not just the nuclear bomb, they've also tested the pensions time bomb. The French have also been testing their pensions time bomb, as a result of which there are now atolls in the South Pacific populated by nothing but grannies.
Apparently, in America, they said it was such a small nuclear bomb that they weren't even sure it was actually a nuclear bomb. It's the same that happens with mobile phones and televisions and things like that, is that now they're mass-produced, they're coming down in price, they're getting smaller. So they're accessible to more and more people, I suppose. That's what will happen. And soon we'll all have little individual ones, and people will have ones with all different cases and stuff, and kids will have them and be chucking them at each other, and you'd have a little mushroom cloud on the table.
Well, they thought it might have been a conventional explosion. I've actually been to North Korea, and a conventional explosion in North Korea basically means too much of the pickled cabbage, because the staple diet is this disgusting stuff called kimchi, which is fermented cabbage.
So maybe it wasn't a nuclear bomb at all. It was a passing of wind by an entire nation, by chance at the same time.
Mainly by little Kim Jong-il, actually, the ruler. When I was in Pyongyang, they just opened this golf course for senior party officials, and there's this clerk there saying that Kim Jong-il, who'd never held a golf club in his life before, went round in, I think, 35, getting 12 holes in one, the first time he'd ever played the game. And the whole country is like that. Everything he touches is magic.
Apparently they believe that he makes the trees blossom and the snow melt.
Yes, and the sea slugs break into a breakdance on his birthday. Well, late at night, after a few beers, you can get them singing, Kim Jong-il, Kim Jong-il, he got North Korea in his daddy's will. So...
Well, apparently world reaction to the explosion has been very swift. Japan has imposed trade sanctions. President Bush has urgently called for a map to show him where Korea is. And France has surrendered. 2 points to Andy. Sarah, why will we soon be literally rolling up for free vegetables?
This is the story. It's very exciting. Britain is officially the fattest nation in Europe.
Woo! Yes!
A win is a win.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to rub it in Europe's face, but we're also top for teenage pregnancies. Come on!
Fantastic. You think with all those folds of fat, the two teenagers wouldn't be able to get it together, but that's...
Apparently not. Apparently not.
But isn't the government saying that they're going to issue these sort of guidelines to teach youngsters how to eat fruit?
Yes.
Which shows how out of touch they are. They think, oh, the reason that youngsters don't eat fruit is because they don't know how to eat fruit. It's because they don't bloody like fruit, isn't it? They're not sitting there thinking, oh, I've got this apple, Dad, but I just can't work out how to get it from my hand to my digestive system. I've tried poking it in my ear with a knitting needle. And how do you do it?
That's absolutely true. The Public Health Minister, Caroline Flint, she suggested that supermarkets, and this is her words, not mine, mount displays that take the mystery out of eating a banana.
The mystery?
Oh, it's a skin!
I love how, with, you know, when they have articles like this in the paper, they always have accompanying articles. They went through and listed what different cabinet members had in their diet. When they came down to Patricia Hewitt, her spokesperson said, Patricia eats more than 5 pieces a day, and her bowel movements are very, very regular.
It sounds like she might be about to launch a leadership bid, because I think there's nothing the British voter wants more than a Prime Minister who is regular.
Yes, someone to come in and say, who's been a good Prime Minister?
Also, I think there was this checklist, and it was how, I think the title of it was something like "How to Tell If You're Obese." Are all the chairs in your house kindling? Yeah. do you have your own postcode? Yeah.
Well, apparently, vouchers for free milk, fruit, vegetables, and vitamins are to be handed out to pregnant women and parents of young children after a report by the Department of Health found that Britain, yes, is now the fattest country in Europe. Obesity rates apparently are higher in the north, and scientists believe this could be down to our water. In the south, water companies add fluoride to drinking water, whereas in the north they add butter. 2 points to Sarah. Mark, whose party tapes weren't music to his colleagues' ears?
Oh, right, this will be Blunkett, who has been quite a prima donna, isn't he, Blunkett? Because he's almost like a star that used to be on the television and now he's not anymore, and he thinks he's been going to his publicist. How can I get back in the public eye somehow? You know, well, a West End show's probably out of the question. I'll issue some diaries. And they've been in the Daily Mail as well.
And the Guardian.
Yeah. And he's been calling all his sort of ex-colleagues various names again. And
basically, says all his colleagues were useless, except Blair, actually. Blair was rather nice to him. They did a lot of hugging, apparently, he and Blair. And Blair then gave him his job back on medical grounds, because Blair was a bit worried that Blunkett appeared to have gone off the rails after resigning. And he said, would it be therapeutic if I put you back in the cabinet? I mean, I wonder if the National Institute for Clinical Excellence will make this available on the NHS. Special treatment. If you're feeling a bit down, you can take over the job as Minister for Work and Pensions. Bring you to your senses. Or you could replace Patricia Hewitt with her regular motions.
But that's what they mean by Commons motion. I've just understood it. But yes, indeed, all this week, The Guardian and The Daily Mail have been serialising extracts from the Blunkett tapes, the former Home Secretary and International Playboy's diaries. It's an odd thing, because he had made lots of critical remarks about his cabinet colleagues earlier to his biographer, Stephen Pollard, a decision that he later called the biggest mistake of my years in politics, alongside, presumably, ID cards, eroding civil liberties, trying to muzzle the judiciary, and shagging that woman from The Spectator. Quick supplementary, who also admitted that politics has made him spin out of control?
Alistair Campbell.
Alistair Campbell.
As was Blunkett, the country is run by people off their head. I mean, they're all having breakdowns of one kind or another. Or
the reason Blunkett got so depressed, though, was because he made the mistake of playing Kim Jong-il at snooker.
I just think
every single frame at 300 break.
They need all these Blunkett's and Campbell's. They just need someone to take them aside and pretend loving. I just wonder if Madonna couldn't adopt some of them.
What if Kim Jong-il is just a fantastic sportsman?
He's never done it in a competitive situation, has he? It's all very well doing it in practice.
Not with the United Nations monitors present, no.
All right, at the end of round one, with lots of supplementaries there, Mark and Sarah have got 4, but Francis and Andy have swept into the lead with 6. We start round 2 with a cutting from the BBC website.
Researchers at Harvard have discovered that sewer gas, hydrogen sulfide, may help to reduce heart rate and respiratory rate in critically ill patients. The chief researcher into the effects of the gas, which smells like rotten eggs, is Dr. Fumito Ichinose.
And thanks to Mike Foster for spotting that. Francis, have a listen to this. It's got nothing to do with anything, we just wanted to play it. Francis, so why would one in five of us rather be un in cinq?
Well, there's a survey, and it claims to have found that one in five people in Britain wish they were French. They don't just want to go and live in France, they actually want to be French. I think specifically members of the English football team, actually. Because Thierry Henry is responsible for most of this.
Yeah.
Essentially, we want to be Thierry Henry, or possibly Jane Birkin, but are we not going to get a question about the England football match this week?
On the grounds I don't care.
Oh, it's so wonderful.
Oh, but if you don't care, then you should have seen it, because it was hilarious.
Oh, was it?
It was the most fantastic comedy goal ever. It was genius. In 20, 30 years, they'll be sort of doing 100 top comedy moments, and that'll come just after Del Boy falling through the... It was really good. It was fantastic. And, of course, inevitably, there's all sort of complaints. It was a divot, the Croatian cheating. They've probably got all landmines left over from their bloody civil war, and so they've carved them up and they've put little tiny ones under the ground, and they've got remote-controlled divot explosions to make the ball bobble over our great English goalkeeper's foot, so we should be awarded the whole World Cup and everything.
It doesn't bode well for the Olympics, though, does it, for the 2012? What are we going to be good at?
But nothing will be ready, though, for the Olympics, because we can't even get things ready, can we? It's already a year behind, and it's only a year since we've been awarded it.
Well, I'm only sorry we're not doing a question on football. It was about French. One in five of us wants to be French. Now, there's five of us on the panel. Who is it? Come on, it's not me.
Me.
It's you, is it? Yeah. Don't put your hand up, it's radio.
I was trying to get a whoosh past the microphone. But I want to be French just for the shrug. I think the Gallic shrug's better than the British.
Is that when a woman shrugs in Britain, it looks like her bra's uncomfortable. It's a strange thing. I used to complain to my dad about learning French in school, and he said to me, yes, very annoying language. He said, cheval means horse, and it's like that all the way through. They have a different word for each one of ours. It's very irritating.
There's a very important rule to learning French, which is that you don't pronounce the last 8/9 of the word. So say you've got a word that's BEAILLOETACERE MENTESE. The correct pronunciation will be
Well, apparently a survey by the French wine industry, which is quite telling, has revealed that one in five Britons would like to move to France or wish that they had been born there in the first place. So that was 2 points to Francis. Andy, why is living in sin likely to become a right and not a wrong?
Well, this is proposals to give cohabiting couples legal rights along the lines of married couples, provoking riots of celebration across the land. Mm. As 98% of all weddings have been cancelled. The only reason people get married is to have those legal rights, that and some snacks. So marriage is pretty much dead now.
It's rather exciting from my point of view, because it now means that married heterosexuals have some legal rights, gay people who've had a civil partnership have legal rights. So it's only cohabiting heterosexuals, as far as I can see, or non-civil partnership people who... and I live in sin, as the Church of England puts it. I mean, I've been living in sin with the same person since the fall of the Attlee government, pretty well. And now, in my dotage, I discover I'm an outlaw, a dangerous outlaw. It's terrifically exciting. I hope we don't get any legal rights. I feel like rebel without a marriage certificate.
How do you determine the moment when you're cohabiting with somebody? Is it the moment when she turns and says, are you wearing that? Is that, I mean, what, I just want to... He turned to me and he said, who's put this CD in non-alphabetical order? And I knew then...
I think that's unfair, that particular little gripe against... I mean, I'm all for most gripes against men, but we know there's that one sort of way in checking whether someone's anal is if they keep all their records in alphabetical order. I mean, surely that depends on how many records you've got, doesn't it? If you've just got two records and you're forever going backwards and forwards, going, oh, better check, ABBA, ZZ Top, no, it's all right. But I've got a room full of records. I keep them in alphabetical order so I can check which one is where so I know how to go and get one. But apparently it turns out I've got a problem with my arse. How is that?
It's clearly a boy thing, darling. It's
well, no, not if you've got a room full of records. How do you find the one? It means you're going to take hours and hours.
Do it by genre.
Well...
Does anyone else do it by genre? I have mine categorised by genre.
But then what about within the genre? Well, say you've got 300 reggae
I'm
records.
I'm sorry, it's a boy thing. A woman goes, darling, go and get me that CD I'm looking for.
Does the same principle apply to books as well, that you shouldn't keep books in alphabetical order?
Well, not if you're a librarian, obviously.
I was going to say, there'd be a lot of librarians feeling a bit guilty tonight. Yeah.
If you're cohabiting and your partner wishes to use one of the books, you should make them fill out a form and then give them a ticket.
Reforms to give legal rights to cohabiting couples look likely to win ministers' backing after research by the Department for Constitutional Affairs found that unmarried couples suffer severe financial hardship if they separate. But cohabiting sounds like two nuns sharing the one outfit. Sarah, why has a made-up interview got Italian MPs sweating?
The MPs were leaving Parliament and they were stopped by a camera crew and they were asked questions and the makeup girl kept on sort of wiping their foreheads. And it turned out the whole interview was completely bogus and that she was actually taking it was a drugs swipe and a huge number of them tested positive for cannabis and cocaine and ferret dirt. And I mean, can you imagine if Tony Blair was on cocaine? I mean, he'd be arrogant. He wouldn't listen to anyone. He'd have delusions of grandeur.
Just imagine John Prescott getting the munchies.
There was an Italian politician called Italo Bocchino. He said the programme makers should be, quote, severely punished for being in illegal possession of the DNA of 50 parliamentarians. Which I think is probably a sentence that's never been said before. I don't know quite what he's worried about, is if they're going to somehow construct the genetically perfect politician.
Apparently they did an analysis of the... is it the River Po? Is it called the Po in Italy? Yeah. And they found that there's 4 kilos of cocaine washed into the Adriatic every single day, and it has a huge impact on health. And the nutritionists have been saying that, you know, sardines that come out of this river have got to be cooked really thoroughly, or they'll never stop talking.
One of my favourite shops is Drug Addled, this brilliant record shop in Brixton. And it's so amazingly slow. And one day I went in there and there was another bloke in front of me. And I thought, oh, it's just going to take a while. But, you know, all right, I'll sort of get into their time frame. And the bloke in front sort of asked for a record that was just up at the top of the wall. And the bloke had to climb up this step ladder. And he went sort of one step and had stopped for about 2 minutes. And I've waited and waited, and then eventually he got about 3 steps up. It was only just here, and he just went, "Me can't reach."
But you're not suggesting anyone in that shop allegedly is taking any kind of substance that would make them slower than they might normally be on an average
day.
Who
knows? I didn't dab his forehead.
It's a satirical television show in Italy called The Hyenas, or Le Iene?
Le Iene.
It's a sort of cross between investigative journalism and comedy. It's a bit like Panorama at the moment. And, anyway, the show's been scrapped because they plan to reveal that of 50 MPs interviewed, a third tested positive for cocaine or cannabis use when sweat mopped from their brow by a makeup assistant was analysed. Apparently 90% of all banknotes are contaminated with cocaine, which explains why the Queen has that particular smile on her face. And at the end of that round, Mark and Sarah have got 8, but Francis and Andy are still in the lead with 10. Before we start round 3, here is a cutting from the Daily Mail.
The kind folk of Martha Clare Vineyard, Riverhead, New York, are hosting a dinner dance fundraiser for the Alzheimer's Association of Long Island. The event is called A Night to Remember.
And our thanks to Christopher Brooks, who sent that in. Andy, why could it soon be chips with everything at your local supermarket?
Well, this is the intriguing possibility that supermarkets will soon be able to put a microchip in your body to enable you to check your food out more quickly. To me, this is not the most productive use of modern technology. But it's a similar technology to chips used in cattle and sheep to enable consumers to trace their food from farm to plate. Have any of you ever taken advantage of that possibility? I guess we'd like to have a backstory with our food. There's a farm in Kent, I believe, where you have your steak from the very moment of birth on a webcam, and you can follow it all the way through its young life. Just don't do the veal option, because the lighting's very bad.
It's in your arms. That's where they're going to put it.
Yeah,
well, it cuts down on credit card fraud and identity theft and things if it's in your arm. But actually, it just gets leave, as you say, to drive by amputations every time you stop at a cash machine, actually.
So, apparently, one of the things about having an implant in your arm is to stop muggings. And I thought, but what about me? I'm small enough to put in somebody's pocket. I mean, it's just... just people swiping me along. Slightly worrying. According to a new survey, 1 in 20 adults would be willing to have a microchip implanted in their body to help pay shopping bills at checkouts. And what it means is basically in the future we won't have to carry money around with us. And a lot of this work is thanks to extensive groundbreaking tests by the Queen. Actually, there was another story about things getting under your skin. It's a supplementary question about whether you boys are sitting comfortably. Why might fellows consider silicone implants?
Oh, it's a new contraceptive method. Mm. You make a... Well, you don't. Somebody makes a hole in the scrotum.
Obviously, it's not me.
And
obviously.
You then... and then you put a silicone gel bung in it or something, and it stops the scrotum doing its stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's a reversible vasectomy.
Also. It's an alternative to vasectomy.
And also, but you can get cash back with it if you go to Tesco.
It's true. American scientists have developed an alternative to the vasectomy. It's a silicone plug that is inserted into the tube that sperm travel along. I have to be completely honest and say I didn't know that sperm travelled by tube. So an extra point there to Francis. Sarah, who canna get enough of the quiet life?
That is the National Trust inundated with people who are interested. They had two cottages on an island called Canna in the Hebrides. And the reason why people are very interested, it's a very sort of small, tightly-knit community. Like, there's only 15 people on the island, and the school's only got one pupil. I imagine it would be hell for that kid to actually try to muck up. You know. Yeah, who threw that?
God, what about the register? Simpson? Anyone know where Simpson is?
Imagine how boring sports day must be.
How do they breed?
It's exactly the same as everybody else. It's just,
they get on the tube.
Yeah. The Hebrides are fantastic, but they're tiny, and there's no electricity, and they don't have television, they don't have radio. In fact, I remember when I went, it's about 10 years ago, they were shocked that we brought the news that Simon and Garfunkel had split up. It was... But it's a beautiful
this
place.
This is a Scottish version of North Korea without the bomb, isn't it?
It is, yes. The tiny Hebridean island of Canna has been inundated with applicants after it advertised for new residents to boost its dwindling population. The islanders, in case anybody's interested, mostly make their living farming, digging escape tunnels to the mainland, and crofting. I have no idea what that is. I think it's the Scottish equivalent of cottaging. Mark, can I just say how young you're looking today, you know? Why could the days of office birthday cards be numbered?
It's that it may be illegal to send people cards on their birthday in the office that are jokey cards about how old they are.
Ageist.
Apparently. Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's this, because under the new law, you can't draw attention to differences in age, which is quite out of the very existence of birthdays to slightly draw attention to the fact that we're all getting older. It's an annual reminder that we're not getting any younger. But anyway, so some insurance company in Bournemouth, isn't it? I can see why Bournemouth might be a sensitive subject in those parts. They are still going to allow them to have office birthday cakes, even though they won't have office birthday cards. So you can still write, happy birthday, coffin dodger, or something like that.
But are you not allowed to sort of have a specific number of candles? You just have to, or do they all the candles just have to spell a question mark or something?
Well, there's an incredible number of discrimination laws now. I mean, the potential for getting it wrong, and, you know, for the boss's birthday, you book a stripper that comes out of a cake shaped like a turban dressed as death. I mean, it could just be this...
Maybe they all cancel each other out.
It's an insurance broker in Dorset called Alan and Thomas, and they have banned employees sending each other birthday cards in case jokes about the recipient's age break new discrimination laws. Since the new laws came in, sales of age-related birthday cards have fallen, although sales of cards saying, "Sorry to hear you've broken human rights legislation," have gone through the roof. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings that the teams have brought along. Francis.
This has been sent in by, I think, Alan and Helen Carter, who live in Lincolnshire. It's from the Boston Target. "Improvements on the train line could be just the ticket for passengers in Boston. Central trains will cut 112 miles off a round trip from Skegness to Crewe by no longer starting or terminating at Crewe, but at Nottingham instead."
Andy.
This cutting is from Barney Scott. I don't know if it's the same Barney Scott that invented the remote control pheasant. Could be a different one. Anyway, it's an excerpt from the Iraq Coalition Provisional Authority Weekly Reports webpage, which read, "For security reasons, there are no security reports."
Sarah.
This one is from the Daily Telegraph. "Stressed Chinese can unleash pent-up anger at a bar that allows customers to attack staff, smash glasses, and generally make a rumpus. The Rising Sun Anger Release Bar in Nanjing employs 20 muscled young men for customers to punch and scream at. Patrons can request waiters to dress up as their boss before beating them up. The landlord said that most of his customers were women."
Mark.
Now, this is from Carol Aldcroft. It's from the front page of the 29th of September edition of the Third Sector, a weekly charity sector magazine. "One lucky MP will go home from the Labour Party conference with a vibrator this afternoon after winning a sexual health quiz organised by the family planning charity FPA. Delegates visiting the charity stand have been invited to answer 10 questions about sexual matters. An identical quiz was held at last week's Liberal Democrat conference, but the prize on that occasion was a box of House of Commons chocolates."
And with that, let's take a look at the final score. Mark and Sarah have got 14, but this week's winners are Francis and Andy with 15. And before we leave you, here is a headline from Doctor Magazine, spotted by Dr. Tom Heller.
"Bowel screening cash disappears into black hole."
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Francis Lee, Andy Zaltzman, Sarah Kandel and Mark Steele. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig, and the news was read by me, Harriet Cass. The chair's script was written by Simon Littlefield, Roderick Crooks and John Finnemore, and the producer was Katie Tyrrell.